I feel that we have all been so specially blessed by the association, the blessings, and the divine example of Sri Yamuna Devi in our lives here at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. I first came in contact with Yamuna Devi in Bombay. I had traveled across continents, meaning holy people, the Jewish faith, Christian faith, Islamic faith. I traveled as a sadhu in the Himalayas. I was meeting some of the most renounced, austere, mystically empowered yogis, lamas, ascetics. And somehow or other I came to Mumbai. And there I learned about this Cross Maidan festival. I had never seen Srila Prabhupada before. I just found the Krishna book and was sitting on the ground reading it. I never really had any contact with any devotees except for some passing in Amsterdam, but I couldn't understand. But the first devotee that deeply impacted my heart was a lady dressed in a very simple sari who was sitting on the stage. And during the daytime, there wasn't that many people there. At night, 20, 30,000 people would come. During the day, it was just kind of empty, people passing through. But this lady, she played the harmonium and was singing. There was no mridanga, there was no kartals, it was just her all alone singing for hours. The depth of her devotion, the intensity of her sincerity, I was so deeply moved. Who are these people? So naturally, when I heard that the guru was coming that evening, I was very interested in meeting all gurus in those days. But I was especially interested in meeting the guru of this American young lady who seemed to be deeper realized in yoga than even so many of the ascetics who were 80 years old that I was living with. She was probably only in her late 20s at the time. But she was ageless the way she was singing. Such gravity, such devotion. In many ways, that experience of sitting, reading, and listening to her for hours that day very much opened my heart with a special eagerness to meet Srila Prabhupada, which I did that evening. And you know the story. I was sitting way in the back, and little did I know till later, but it was Yamuna Devi's husband at the time that came and took me by the hand and said, Prabhupada wants you to sit with him, and brought me to the stage. Later on, of course, I lived in Vrindavan, and that is where I accepted the path of bhakti as my life and soul. I accepted Radha Krishna as the ultimate worshipable lords of my life. And I accepted in my heart of hearts Srila Prabhupada as my spiritual master, who I wanted to dedicate my body, mind, life, and words, everything to assisting. But I had to leave Vrindavan because of my visa. While I was there, I never saw any ISKCON devotees except when Prabhupada came. There was about 40 with him. Then for many months, I never saw another. There was no Krishna Balaram temple at the time. And I went to Nepal for some time and got a transit visa back into India, 2 weeks, where I was to catch a plane from Delhi to the west. And naturally, I went back to Vrindavan. And at that time, Yamuna Devi and Guru Das were living at the Radha Damodar temple. Srila Prabhupada personally sent them there to establish the Krishna consciousness movement in Vrindavan. Think of how dear and important they were to him. Vrindavan is Srila Prabhupada's eternal home. Radha Damodar temple, the place of Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, is where he lived for so many years and translated and wrote purports for Srimad Bhagavatam, prayed. He sent these two very, very special devotees with this mission to establish Vrindavan, to establish the Krishna consciousness movement of his in Vrindavan. So I heard about this. And it was just them and one other brahmachari who I happened to know because he was living in a Gaudiya Math with me when I was before. Very young boy. And I just want to share this with you. They were in a little room, very simple, on a first story. And they were just talking between each other, Yamuna Devi and Guru Das. I was there for hours. They had such sincere desire. All they talked about was what Srila Prabhupada wanted. The only words that came out of their mouth was, Srila Prabhupada wanted this. How do you think this would please Srila Prabhupada? I didn't hear another thing for hours. Every subject they discussed, it was connected exclusively to their seva for their guru. And I will never forget this. It had such an impact in my life. The conception of this yasya prasada, bhagavat prasado, of pleasing and dedicating everything to the service of Guru. In my life, I had never experienced it like from them. And I was thinking, this is what it means to be a disciple. To follow in the footsteps of someone like Yamuna Devi. And that was a very great blessing in my life, because I understood that I had to strive for that standard 24 hours a day, what will please my guru. A standard that I felt I may never reach, but at least I could strive to follow in her footsteps. We heard this beautiful offering by Shyam Sundar Prabhu. He was best friends with Yamuna Devi from the age of 13. Now they're about 69, so that's a long time, at least by our calculations. And please understand how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu selected such incredibly special people to spread this movement all over the world. We know all the things that these six devotees did. They began San Francisco, London. They were essential for India, the Beatles. And Shyamasundara Prabhu wrote in his offering, because Yamuna Devi accepted Prabhupada as her guru, that was enough. Shyamasundara gave his life and soul to Prabhupada simply on that basis. Because knowing her since she's just a little girl, he understood the depth of her sincerity and her wisdom. In 1966, Yamuna Devi's younger sister, Janaki, was getting married to who is now His Holiness Mukunda Goswami Maharaj. So we could imagine what an exalted marriage that must have been. And Srila Prabhupada, it was the first marriage in all of ISKCON. And who was getting married? The first two people to really help Srila Prabhupada in New York City. His first female disciple. And Srila Prabhupada, you know how weddings are in India. It's really a family affair. So Prabhupada was excited. He told Janaki to invite her family to come. But they lived in Oregon, 3,000 miles away. And there was only 2 days' notice. Prabhupada was very surprised that nobody in the family came. But Yamuna Devi came. She came all that way to support and give her love to her sister and to meet this Swamiji that her sister's talking about. And she came into Prabhupada's personal apartment. And how she describes her first meeting with Srila Prabhupada. He was distributing prasad to some brahmacharis, or whatever they were in those days. And she describes how he was near a window and his body was being bathed and glowing with the light of the sun. It was just beautiful. And he was serving the Krishna prasad. And she was on a very, very microbiotic special diet. And nothing in the menu was complimentary to her diet. And she did not want to eat it. But just to please Prabhupada, because he was insisting, she did. But then he offered her a gulab jamun. For a microbiotic, eating a gulab jamun is kind of like eating meat. It's just completely against the principles. And she said, no, no, no. And he said, yes, yes, yes. And she said, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. She surrendered and ate the gulab jamun. And then Srila Prabhupada asked her, since it's the duty of the bride's side to prepare for the marriage, and you're the only person in the bride's side. And Prabhupada gave her initiation, so he was her spiritual father. He said, so the two of us will cook the whole feast. And he taught Yamuna Devi how to make kichuris. And Srila Prabhupada made about 15 preparations with his own hands for 40 people. And she cooked with Prabhupada. She was in one room and he was in another. He was going back and forth. He was 71. She was about 25. They cooked together from 11 in the morning till 5 at night. And every time Prabhupada saw Yamuna Devi touch anything, he would say, wash your hands. Yamuna Devi is so humble. She just told it as it was. She asked Prabhupada, can I take a break to smoke a cigarette? And then Prabhupada explained the four regulative principles. And Yamuna Devi, she asked, could I take some water? And Prabhupada gave her water with his own hands. But then he said, we're not supposed to be thinking about eating or drinking ourselves. We're supposed to be only thinking about Krishna's eating. So he was giving her so much philosophy. He was telling her everything practically in the process of just cooking. And she was quite mesmerized by this compassion and this devotion. And she went back to Oregon, and her younger sister, Janaki Devi, and Mukunda Prabhu at the time, Prabhupada wanted them to start a temple in San Francisco. And Yamuna Devi was immediately enthusiastic to help. And these six devotees, Shamsunda Prabhu, and who was to become Malati Devi, Mukunda Maharaj then, and Janaki Devi, and and Gurudas Prabhu and Yamuna Devi. They had nothing except a desire to serve. Unrelenting, unstoppable desire to serve. Incredible. They got a storefront. They had nothing to get it with, but they got it. They made a big mantra rock dance, the Avalon Ballroom, this historical event. Some of the most famous bands in the whole Western world were playing practically for nothing, and they were all in the program second to Srila Prabhupada, who nobody ever heard of. Now, to convince these bands to do that, these famous bands, they have some ego. So often I've heard, because I know people from these circles, they don't want to be second to somebody. They want to be the top. And here, they're all second for this completely unknown Swami. This was how convincing these devotees were. And there in San Francisco, Yamuna Devi, she learned kirtan, she learned cooking. They were going here and there. They established the first Rath Yatra. They made the first Jagannath deities. It's quite incredible. New York City, Srila Prabhupada established the Krishna Conscious Movement at 26 Second Avenue. But it was there in the heart of Haight-Ashbury, the highest place of pilgrimage for the counterculture of the 1960s, that actually Krishna consciousness became known to all of America. from nothing because of these devotees' incredible devotion. They saw that Prabhupada could do anything. Nothing was impossible. And they took that spirit and did the impossible. Srila Prabhupada was so pleased with them, and he had such faith in them. At that time, now they were three married couples. Srila Prabhupada sent them to London. They went to Montreal to get Srila Prabhupada's blessings. And from there, when they arrived in London, they knew no one, they had nothing, except fearless enthusiasm to serve. They were living scattered out in different places. Sometimes they were trying to get jobs, sometimes they were having little kirtans, sometimes they were meeting. It was very difficult. They were in poverty. How they even got into London was extraordinary. Srila Prabhupada, when he talked about these three Grihastha families, he said, these three families are as good or better than sannyasis, as far as their fearless, empowered capacity to spread Krishna consciousness. Because no one had ever done it in a substantial way in London. And when they found out that Shamsunda wrote a letter to Prabhupada, or he talked to him, something, because there's a letter from Srila Prabhupada to Mukunda Maharaj, where Prabhupada said, Shamsundar wants to give Krishna consciousness to the Beatles. I think it's a good idea. What do you think? The most famous people in the planet. They had so many people screaming during their concerts in some sort of ecstasy of whatever, that they couldn't even hear themselves play. Nobody in the history of the world ever affected people like the Beatles. So they didn't even go public. They just sat in their studios and made records, and everything that they made was go right to become number one. So very hard to meet them. So Yamuna Devi, Malati Devi, and Janaki Devi, they had a strategy. Because the Beatles owned a record company called Apple Records. So they started sending different preparations made out of apples. Yeah. I don't remember what they all were, you know, apple cookies, apple pies, apple crisps, apple crunch, apple pudding. They just kept making different apple things. And, you know, it began, the workers were eating, but then it was so, everything was so ecstatically nice because it was all offered to Krishna with love and devotion. And it was empowered by Srila Prabhupada, and Yamuna Devi and Malati Devi and Janaki. They were excellent cooks because they so wanted to please Prabhupada so deeply that eventually the Beatles were eating it every day. And we know the story how Shamsundar Prabhu got in to meet George Harrison and became his very best friend, practically. Well, Yamuna Devi explains they made for weeks all these prasad apple preparations. And then very strategically, they stopped making. And the Beatles, where is our apple preparation? So then they got noticed. And their relationship became very nice. And soon they were living in the house of John Lennon, who was the leader of the Beatles. And they invited Prabhupada. Well, even before they invited Prabhupada, when they were living with John Lennon and George Harrison was becoming so serious about Krishna consciousness, George heard them chanting, and he was so enchanted by the chanting that he said, you should make a record. So they made a single 45 RPM record of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And that went into the public. It was a sensational hit. It was the number one record of all records. And this was in the 1960s when the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and all these different groups, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra by the devotees was number one. And it was in the top 10 for the whole of Europe. Incredible. So George was so inspired by this that he asked them to come to Apple Records to make a record album. And on that album, the lead song was Yamuna Devi singing Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Of course, Yamuna Devi was the lead singer for the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra also. And interestingly, when George Harrison, who was a topmost connoisseur of musical art for that genre of art, of music, he was so deeply moved and impressed by Yamuna Devi's incredible voice, her stature, her charisma, her devotion, that he said, without any problem, we could make her one of the most famous singers in the entire world. And she could sing for Krishna. But Yamuna Devi, she didn't want to do that. She just wanted to serve her Gurudev and go wherever her Gurudev wanted her to go. She never wanted fame. She never wanted prestige. She just wanted to serve. The song Govindam Adipurusham and the album was so, it was one of the biggest selling record albums in all of Europe. And at the time, Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles. We heard already from some of our most beloved speakers a little of the story. Srila Prabhupada wanted to hear the album, especially Govindam, in the LA temple. But the leaders, they refused to play it, because it was sung by a female. And the brahmacharis might get offended. And the sannyasis might get angry. So Prabhupada said, play it. They said, no, we don't want to play it here. And he said, no, I want to hear it. And they said, we don't have a tape recorder. We'll find one later. And it was just about the time, I think it was about the time for greeting the deities. And there was a sound system in the temple rooms. Prabhupada said, play it in the sound system for the temple room. But Prabhupada, it's a woman singing. Said Prabhupada said, play it. And when Yamuna's voice began, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. As it echoed through the temple, everyone was watching Srila Prabhupada's reaction. He closed his eyes in total silence, and a few seconds later, tears streamed from his eyes across his face. And he didn't say a word. Then everyone understood Srila Prabhupada's heart. And Prabhupada said that this is a transcendental spiritual symphony from the spiritual world. And then he gave an order, nothing like it before or since. He ordered that every single temple of ISKCON, at the most intimate, special time of the day of greeting the deities, that this song of Yamuna Devi and the devotees in London be played. And it's something absolutely universal. What can I say? That Hare Krishna mantra record that they made, it became so big, Mukunda Goswami explains, that the soccer team, Manchester United, they were playing, and during the break at halftime, they played this record for thousands and thousands of people, and they were all chanting the Maha Mantra because it was like rooting the team on. This was the power of Yamuna Devi's magnetic voice. And Shamsundar Prabhu, so many times he told me that through these days, which were very, very difficult in San Francisco and in London, they established a temple near the British Museum. They really reached out and made the Hare Krishna mantra an international known spiritual prayer. Srila Prabhupada said, Shamsundar Prabhu told us, I just spoke to him this morning actually. He said, we were going here and there and here and there. He said, the glue that held all of us together was Yamuna Devi. She had an incredible sense of humor, no false ego, but she was so deep and she was so grave and she was always so totally focused and centered in pure devotional service and nothing else. What they did in London was so historical. Srila Prabhupada's confidence in their commitment, their devotion, and their love was so great that he asked them to come to India. Gurudas, Yamuna, Shamsundar Malati, they came to India. First devotees to really help Prabhupada establish the movement. Yamuna Devi, for 2 years, she was Prabhupada's personal cook. And she went everywhere with him. And Srila Prabhupada taught her how to cook and had the best cooks teach her how to cook. Prabhupada's sister, Prabhupada himself. They would go to so many houses, Yadubar Prabhu could actually speak so much more because he has such deep relationship and realizations, but he's so humble he only spoke a few words. But they were having programs at people's houses constantly. And if any preparation was really good, he would ask Yamuna to learn how to make this from them. In this way, she learned. And we heard from one of our devotees how Yamuna told this beautiful instruction that Prabhupada gave. If you do not teach other people to know what you did, what you have learned, then you will become proud. And I heard Yamuna Devi repeat these things so many times over the years because she understood this is so important. And she lived by it, absolutely. And it is crucial to our spiritual lives because the false ego, we want to be unique. We want to be able to say something, to do something that nobody else can do. That kind of puts us on a special pedestal. And we become proud. But whatever we know, if we just understand, it's been given to me, it's not mine. And my duty, my obligation is what I receive, I must give to others. So that they could do it too. And that really does cure our pride. Because then they could do it just as good as us. And hopefully, as far as pride goes, even better. This is leadership. Not to keep people down, but to push people up. Nothing is mine. It's been given to me by Prabhupada's grace, by Krishna's grace. This is the way Yamuna Devi is teaching us. Share it. Teach it extensively, every detail of it, so that everyone could do it. And then we could actually feel like humble servants and really please Krishna. She was so determined to please Prabhupada. She tells a story of once, you know, the devotees were really living in very austere conditions in India. And once they were on a train traveling with Srila Prabhupada. And she was Prabhupada's cook. Her and I believe Kausalya Devi. They traveled a lot with Prabhupada. And they went to the kitchen of the train and asked if they could cook for their spiritual master. And the bureaucracy of India, some things are quite deeply rooted. They said, no, no one is allowed in the kitchen of the train. You cannot come. But two white American girls are asking to go into the kitchen of the train. And this is a 1970, 71. So they refused. So they begged, they pleaded, but they absolutely refused. Yamuna Devi was so committed to make prasad for Prabhupada because Prabhupada was hungry. With firm determination, she said right to the head of the train that if you don't let me in to cook for my spiritual master, then I will jump out of the train at this moment and you are responsible for my death. And she said it with such conviction, they trembled. They opened the doors to the kitchen and said, cook, cook. And they started calling her the crazy white lady. But she didn't care whatever they called her. She only wanted to make sure that Prabhupada got his rice. Srila Prabhupada recognized that. And she traveled with Srila Prabhupada. Bombay, in Surat, she was leading kirtans where there were thousands of people welcoming the devotees. Calcutta, Delhi. And ultimately, Srila Prabhupada instructed Gurudas Prabhu and Yamuna Devi to take charge of Vrindavan, to build the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, to cultivate ISKCON bhakti in Vrindavan. And they did. And it was really difficult. When I lived in Vrindavan, there was only one other white person there. And we were just, you know, I was just sleeping on the riverbanks and just going to holy places and doing bhajan. And it was the most wonderful thing, but it wasn't easy. But can you imagine? Two Western American white people in 1971 who were given the task of building a magnificent temple and establishing an entire movement full of challenges. Everyone wanted to cheat them. Everyone wanted to exploit them. Not everyone, but many. And they did it. Year after year after year, they struggled to establish the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan against all odds. I'd like to say something about what Giriraj Maharaj spoke about in his offering. He explained how in 1971 Yamuna Devi would sit right in the front row as Srila Prabhupada would speak because she was so eager to hear every single word he would say. And they were at the Kumbh Mela in Allahabad. One sannyasi told her, "This is India. Women cannot sit in the first row when a swami's speaking." So she started to cry. Because in San Francisco, in London, and everywhere else, Srila Prabhupada gave her every facility and every opportunity to serve to her full heart's content. And Prabhupada only appreciated and encouraged her. So she went and sat back. And later, after the lecture, Prabhupada called for her. He said, "Don't you want to hear me speak anymore? Where were you?" And she started crying again, and she told him what the sannyasi told her. And Srila Prabhupada didn't say anything. We heard this from Giriraj Swami Maharaj. So she realized that as the movement was growing, there were so many concerns and there was certain etiquette that she was going to have to follow, and that broke her heart. She realized she was going to have to serve Srila Prabhupada from a distance that was totally foreign and unknown to her. Now I'm going to give you a little, my own realization of what we have heard. Srila Prabhupada was asking why she wasn't there. If she asked Prabhupada's permission to sit in the front, it seems quite obvious he would have said yes. But she didn't, because she understood from his silence that there were just certain etiquettes that people were concerned with around. And she willingly accepted Prabhupada's mission, Prabhupada's purpose, as something so much greater than her own desire. When she first told me this story long ago, you know what I was thinking? I was remembering, it's not exactly the same, but the spirit is in my heart exactly the same. When Ram told Lakshman, take Sita to Valmiki Muni's ashram. It was just supposed to be a trip. But when you reach there, tell Sita that she's going to have to stay there. We will never meet again in the physical form. That was when she was sent away. When they were approaching the ashram, Lakshman started crying. And Sita asked, what is it? What is it? And he loved Sita. She was the worshipable goddess of his life. And seeing Ram and Sita together was the ultimate satisfaction of his heart. It was unbearable to him. He has to tell her this. When Lakshman told Sita that you're being banished, Sita cried. She didn't argue. She revealed the precious, inconceivable love of her heart when she said to Lakshman, if this is how I could best serve my Lord, this is what I want. Above and beyond everything else, Sita wanted to help her Lord with his mission. And this incident of Kumbh Mela just shows the nature of Yamuna Devi's total, unconditional, unmotivated, loving service to Srila Prabhupada. If breaking her own heart helps Prabhupada in his mission, then that will be her life and soul. While they were living in Vrindavan, at a certain point, Gurudas Prabhu was to take sannyas. I think this was around 1975. Srila Prabhupada gave him sannyas for the mission. Interestingly, are we getting too late? Should I? If you want me to stop, say Hari Bol. If you want me to continue, please say Hari Bol. It's the power of Yamuna Devi's pastimes. Srila Prabhupada told her that women in our tradition do not take sannyas, but in spirit you should take the same vow of sannyas. To remain celibate, to have no intimate relationship with a man, and to totally immerse yourself in Krishna consciousness for the rest of your life. The same vows as a sannyasi she took informally within her heart. She never, even in the slightest way, deviated from that vow her whole life. She was, at the time, a young woman. This was the extent of her devotion and love for Srila Prabhupada, for Krishna. Such renunciation. There were quite a few sannyasis who took sannyas at that age who couldn't sustain such renunciation. But she did it with the highest degree of integrity. It was around that time, 1975, that she started a little ashram with Dina Tarani Devi. And some people were complaining about them. You know, they're kind of living a little away from the temple and they have an ashram. But Srila Prabhupada, he was very happy. He said, it's very good that they're together. He said, they should remain together for the rest of their lives. Now, do you know how difficult it is to live with somebody else for the rest of your life? Two God sisters? With Prabhupada and Krishna in the center, they were dearest friends and sisters. I remember some years later, Dina Tarani Devi and Yamuna Devi were living at New Vrindavan. In those days I was traveling and I would just come back maybe 1 or 2 days a month. And whenever I did, I would always go to a little trailer where they were living in, kind of on a hill, a little away from the rest of the community. And there I saw, there was mud all around. Sometimes it was cold. It was a very austere situation. And they were living in a very, very decrepit little place. Do you remember? But there, in the middle of it, when you walk in the house, was their altar. Sri Sri Radha Ban Bihari. These deities were shining. Meticulously beautiful ornamentation, beautiful decoration. It was the spiritual world. And she told me then that Srila Prabhupada personally gave her those deities of Radha Ban Bihari to be her Ishtadev, her life and soul. Yamuna Devi, Dina Tarani Devi, their whole life, their soul, their everything was focused around beautiful seva for Radha Ban Bihari on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. Incredible. Yes. How devotees could remain together as the deepest friends throughout their lives if only we put the instruction of the spiritual master and the pleasure of Radha Krishna as our life and soul. And what really interested me, not only interested me, but deeply impacted my heart, was in more recent years, because Yamuna Devi is such a legendary, historical, gigantic person in our history. Her accomplishments, her devotion, her relation to Prabhupada. But she would, so often, to myself and I would see to others, she would very much make sure that whatever she did, that Dina Tarani Devi did it with her. And she really took joy when people gave Dina Tarani Devi credit. Because they had such pure spiritual love for each other. Yamuna Devi wrote me many letters. And she always signed Dina Tarani's name with it. She didn't want to take any credit for anything herself. They were a team. And whatever credit one had, they shared. And she was very much in that mood always. What a beautiful lesson that is for the world. If God brothers and God sisters could be so selfless and unconditional with Prabhupada and Krishna in the center, like they exemplified, this movement would be the all-attractive manifestation of Goloka Vrindavan. That's what their homes were, wherever they were. And that's what everyone felt when they came in contact with them. Yamuna Devi, in Prabhupada's service, wrote the most incredible cookbook in the history of Brahma's creation. I think it was, 800 pages? And it's for the secular audience, and she's specifically glorifying Srila Prabhupada constantly. Who is Prabhupada? The nature of her, of the guru-disciple relationship and how Prabhupada, you know, taught her all these things. And it took her a long time. Yamuna Devi was a perfectionist in everything she did meticulously. She tried and tested every recipe and had people try every single recipe of that book. Was learned, was experimented, was tested, was proven many, many times before it could go into those pages. And everything was connected to Prabhupada and Krishna. She named it Lord Krishna's cuisine. Doesn't get any more direct than that. She sent it, publisher after publisher after publisher. Everyone rejected it. They didn't want it. Too long, too big. You have to take this out and take this out and this out. Then we will consider it. And people were revising Yamuna Devi. You have to revise it. She said, no. As it is. That was the spirit. As it is. It was being rejected by every publisher it was being sent to. No. Compromise or forget it. And finally, one publisher, a branch of Penguin, Dutton, they printed it. And that year, some of the most famous great authors of cookbooks wrote cookbooks. And Lord Krishna's Cuisine won the most prestigious award, the International Cookbook of the Year. And it's simply an offering of her love for Prabhupada. What Srila Prabhupada gave her, according to his instruction, she was sharing with the whole world. And she was becoming very, very famous. But she didn't want fame. Only she wanted devotional service. Yadubar Prabhu was telling us about how she moved to Sharanagati. Her and Dina Tarini Devi, they built straw bale house out of natural products. And you know, we built natural houses in our farm at Govardhan in Wada. But they live in Canada. It's about 5 hours from the closest city. And it's covered with snow and freezing cold in the winter. And there's bears all over the place. Yes? It's a very austere place. And they lived there. It was like an incredible bhajan kutir. And if you go there, it was the spiritual world. They designed that little bhajan kutir. It was beautiful. meticulously. It was so simple. But every molecular particle was surcharged with their devotion. Everybody could feel it. Nothing was superficial for Yamuna Devi. Everything had a meaning, had a purpose. I used to just examine and just look at every detail. The altar. There was just little places, special places for Prabhupada's remnants, special places for everything that belonged to the deities, special places for everything. Their deity worship was meticulous with artistic, loving devotion in every sense, as was their cooking. One time I went there to Shadarnagati, and Malati Devi and Shamsundar, we decided to go, and somehow or other, Yamuna Devi and Malati Devi convinced Janaki to take a long drive, even with her very, very ill health, to come and join us there. And of course, Yadubar Prabhu and Vishakha Devi were there. And we had prasad together. You were at that lunch, yes? You weren't there, okay. How many of you have had Yamuna Devi's prasad? When Dinatarani Devi and Yamuna Devi cooked, it was a devotional masterpiece. Really, Ekavir Prabhu, he just said it better than anybody could say it. Everything, the way they cut the vegetables, the way they cooked it, the way they kept everything so absolutely spotlessly clean. Even an atheist would have complete faith that this is Radharani's kitchen. Seriously. That's the way they prepared everything. And the way they made the plates and the way they served it. Ekavir Prabhu said, when the plate came, what to speak of the things on the plate itself. You didn't want to eat it. It was almost like an offense to eat it. You should preserve it forever and put it on the altar and worship it. But it tasted so good that there was no way you could possibly not eat it. And she was making, I never had this in my life to this day. She had about 6 different flavored chapatis. Incredible. I wish I could remember all the flavors. They were like mango chapatis. All different flavored chapatis. And each one was so absolutely flaky and tender and delicious in texture, in the shape, in the design, in everything. And they were just making and making. And as we're sitting, we were asking, because I was supposed to give a lecture that night. And I said, this is such a historical event. When was the last time that Shamsundar, Malati, Yamuna, and Janaki were all together in the same place, these 4 Prabhus? I said, please, let's have a program tonight where all of you speak about Srila Prabhupada. And they said, no, you speak. I said, please, you know, I can speak anytime. I'll speak tomorrow. Said, I'm dying of thirst to hear all of the four of you here speak together. And everybody else will. So, and Janaki Devi, she said, no, I have not spoken in public for 30 years. Something like that, right? Since about 1970 or something. She said, I have not spoken in public. There's so many devotees here. I will not do it. And I said, just sitting at the table taking prasad, you've been sharing so many stories about Prabhupada. Just whatever you said to us, say it. She said, no, you're my close friends. We're sitting at a table together, but I can't do it in front of an audience. And then Yamuna Devi said, just pretend that it's just us at the table and just speak. And ultimately, only Yamuna Devi could convince her younger sister to agree, to break out of that 30 years of isolation and preaching Krishna consciousness and Prabhupada's glories. So Janaki Devi finally agreed. But then Yamuna Devi said, but the three of them will speak, I'm not going to speak. I said, what is this? You know, that's the four of you. She said, how can I speak? I live here. It's presumptuous when all these guests are here that I speak. So somehow or other went back and forth, and because everybody wanted her to speak, she surrendered. And that was such a beautiful historical event. You videotaped it, didn't you? It's absolutely incredible. Shamsundar Prabhu is just so expert at just churning the nectar from people's hearts. And I was just so amazed to see the dynamics between these three sisters, Dina Tarani Devi, Yamuna Devi, and Janaki Devi. The dynamics are quite inconceivable. It's getting very late. I'm sorry. We are so blessed in this very temple room on several occasions. Yamuna Devi spoke for us, sitting right here, Yadubar Prabhu's chair. She would lead kirtans. She would speak incredible deep memories of Srila Prabhupada. She would speak such powerful, pure, heart-piercing siddhanta of our teachings and our philosophy, with such compassion. And that miraculous event was already explained for people who only hear this tape. I will just repeat it because it was so inconceivable. Yamuna Devi was here, and it was the greeting of the deities' time, and we were all sitting in front of the doors, and the doors opened, and just as the doors opened, the electricity went out. So Govindam Adi Purusham didn't play. There was no electricity. So everyone looked at Yamuna Devi. And I asked her, please, you chant. She said, no. And everyone was looking at her, please chant. So she led live in person for the greetings of Radha Gopinath. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. And I was just thinking that devotees all over the universe would give anything to be here for this moment. Where Yamuna Devi is live in person greeting the deities. And the most, it was very heart melting. As soon as she ended, all the lights went on and the electricity came back. This is not just some sentimental idea. This is the reality that Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, they wanted her to sing for them. And they orchestrated it perfectly. And we were all the witnesses of this Leela. During the Pune Yatra, Yamuna Devi, Dinatarani Devi, they came. How many of you were there for that? For several days. And how much they encouraged us to see all the enthusiasm for chanting and for dancing. And in their honor, because they are such great renunciates, I don't know how many hours I spoke about Lord Chaitanya's sannyas pastimes. And somehow or other, like a mother encourages a little child, they encouraged me to just keep speaking. It meant so much to me that I could actually please them just by my insignificant attempts. And that's a special message. Whatever our position is in Krishna consciousness, the nectar of devotion is when we really try to please those people who we feel are so close to our Gurudev. She came to the marriage of Krishna Kanaya Prabhu and Karuna Manjari Devi and just appreciated everything so much and wrote so many beautiful emails about it. When Jai Patak Maharaj had his stroke, he was at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and Yamuna Devi, Dinatarani Devi, they brought some of the young youth of our society, Kartamashad and Radhe, they brought to sing for Jai Patak Maharaj. And she wanted all the young people, you know, they're in their teens or early 20s, she was so proud of their singing. And everybody asked her to sing. She said, no, no, I will not sing. Let the children sing. And the children sang so beautiful. Yamuna Devi, please sing. She said, no, no, I will not sing. Let everyone else sing. They're all better than me. And then Jai Patak Maharaj looked at her and said, Yamuna Devi, please sing. And for Maharaj's pleasure, she sang so wonderfully. And it just moved our hearts so much. Dwarkadish Prabhu and others talked about her recent stay at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. What a blessing, what an honor, what a privilege. This very year, she stayed with us for 3 months without going anywhere. And she would sometimes talk to me and tell me how she felt so uncomfortable because everyone wanted to serve her. And she does not like to be served. So she was very strongly trying to convince me to tell the devotees to not keep offering her services. even though she was so sick, it would have been very, very difficult for her to do things by herself. But she never wanted to be in the center. She hated to be served, but she loved to serve. I prayed to Prabhupada and Krishna and give me the words. And I said, it's their greatest happiness to serve you. You're the closest thing that they've ever seen to personal service to Srila Prabhupada. They may be serving you a little, but by giving them the experience, the happiness, the joy of serving you, you are serving them unlimitedly. She surrendered to let everybody do everything for her. She said, I surrender. But then the next time I met her, she said, I surrendered, but still I don't like it. Again, such an example. When we have a senior position and people like to help us or serve us, following in Yamuna Devi's footprints, we should never think that they're serving me. Because our philosophy is servant of the servant of the servant, and that even means to our juniors and the junior most juniors of our juniors. That sometimes, according to our position, by allowing someone to serve me, it's my humble service to them, to encourage and inspire them. Because ultimately they're not serving me, they're serving Srila Prabhupada through me. They're serving Krishna through me. That's the consciousness that she taught. And that was the brilliant, effulgent nature of her personality in every aspect of her life. How deep. We heard how it was Radha Banbihari's appearance day. 10,000 miles away they were. And she had never been separated from them like this on this holy day. She's in very ill health in a hospital in Bombay, Bhaktivedanta. But in her mind, with love and devotion, and she included so many other young ladies in this seva. They were making preparations in their minds. And she wrote down 108 preparations. And she was including so many others in making this feast. And when she sent it by email, all the preparations, she said, now it is offered. And she fasted without even any water until she made the offering. What an example of bhakti. Time, geography, nothing can be an impediment between us and Krishna, us and Prabhupada, if we have that sincere devotion. And she showed us. I can't even imagine how Radha Banbihari was enjoying that email. They were tasting every word of that email as nectar. Wherever she went, she was a source of such encouragement because her heart was so deep and so huge. And she had so much love and so much compassion. that when she appreciated, it was Prabhupada and Krishna appreciating through her. And it affected us so much. I believe everybody in the world who have come in contact with her would feel that. And she was simply everyone's well-wisher. She took pride and incredible joy to see any of her god brothers, god sisters, any of the second generation devotees, any of the youth, to see anything good that they did, any success that they made. That was her joy. She was totally non-envious, paradukaduki. Hey, Kavir Prabhu said it so beautifully. Her love was like every single devotee's personal mother. Her gravity and courage was like a soldier. And her simplicity and purity was like a child. In my heart, she was the mother of all mothers for our whole society. Interesting, because she had no biological children herself. But she was more than any mother could be for all of us. In every letter she sent me, practically, she would give me reports of Radha Banbihari's latest festival with beautiful photographs. And she would always express so much love and appreciation for all the devotees of our congregation. And then there was always a section of concern for my health. She just cared so much. When somebody like that is thinking about you, you just want to go on living forever. Because you just feel so appreciated and so encouraged. That was Yamuna Devi. She had no material desires. She had no desire for prestige, for followers, for fame. She could have had it in every way. But she was especially empowered to teach us the true character of a devotee. She was the very personification of the bhakti that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu came to the world to give. And in every situation, she carried Srila Prabhupada in her heart. And the criteria of every decision she would make is what will please Srila Prabhupada. She called me on the phone after she had left Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and some months later she was diagnosed with a very, very severe health problem regarding her heart and almost every other part of her body. Complicated. And she was so eager to get the medical advice of Prince, Dr. Prince Johnston. Somehow or other, she just, the littlest thing, she would just relish so much. Can you imagine? Dwarkadish Prabhu was her main doctor for Bhaktivedanta Hospital for 3 months. And she just loved that hospital and loved the devotees. And whoever is connected to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, you should know that you are infinitely, inconceivably, unlimitedly blessed by Srila Prabhupada, by Radha Gopinath, through Yamuna Devi's heart. And when she saw that drama, where her own personal, loving, caring doctor was playing the most ruthless, demoniac, envious murderer of Vaishnavas. Now, for most people, that performance was really mean. I hate to say it, but this Prince Johnston literally incarnated into Dwarkadish that night. It didn't look like he was acting. It just looked like he was possessed by the ghost of this demon. He was screaming and he was murdering so many devotees, Ladini and so many devotees, and it was ruthless. Now, if you see your doctor playing that role, most people would want to change their doctor. But as Shamsundar Prabhu explained, her sense of humor was so incredible. She loved it. She just adored it. She had more faith in Dwarkadish Prabhu than ever before. If he could play a role like this, just to give pleasure to the devotees, this is my doctor forever. Seeking the essence. And I don't think she ever called him Dwarkadish again. Even when she diagnosed with a very severe, life-threatening heart problem just recently, she called me and she said, I need to talk to Dr. Johnston. She was getting so many people's opinions. She trusts the love of a devotee more than anything else. And she wrote to me, and she wrote to so many people, just to encourage us. Just, we were talking about how meticulous she was in the way she performed her deity worship, the way she cooked, the way she had her house, the way she, everything she did was like an artist. Because every word, every act, it was an offering to Krishna, and she was conscious of that. There wasn't a moment in her life that was ordinary. When she put something down, she was doing it for Krishna. She did it with such care. This is the way Srila Prabhupada inspired her. So Prabhupada was like that to an infinite degree. And that's the way, with that meticulous grace, that's the way she interacted with everyone she came in contact with. And she just knew how to encourage us. Even though she was so sick, and it didn't look like it was possible for her to even live, she would write us, many people here, how she wanted to get her health together so that she could come to Bombay for Priyavrat Prabhu and Ratna Manjari's marriage. To be with all of the devotees here. To show her love for Radha Priya Krishna Chandra Prabhu, who served her so nicely. And how that thrilled our hearts. She's telling she wants to work on getting her health together by any means so she could come to be with all of us for this marriage. I'm speaking this especially to the congregation of Bhaktivedanta Hospital and Radha Gopinath Temple. Just December 20th, just about 20 days ago, the dear youth, these young boys and girls, as Prabhupada called the youth, who Yadubhar Prabhu so beautifully spoke about, who she loved, who she trained, who she inspired, who she became the life and soul of, they all came to Florida to visit her. And they had kirtan together because they loved her and she loved them. And I spoke with Malati Prabhu and Dinatarani Devi Prabhu about Yamuna Prabhu. And they told me something very special. They said the night that she passed away, they were having beautiful kirtan, and they told me she was appreciating the devotees of Bhaktivedanta Hospital and Radha Gopinath Temple. She was expressing her great appreciation for all of you. At night, she had some pain in her heart. It subsided to some extent, and she went to take rest. Dinatarani Devi told me about 5 o'clock in the morning or so, she got up. And she saw that Yamuna Devi wasn't in her bed. She was sitting in a chair. She looked in the most relaxed, peaceful, serene state with her bead bag in her hands and her fingers on her japa mala. And Dinatarani discovered that Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, Radharani had taken her from this world. She was a very quiet, unassuming person. It seems to me that's just the perfect way she would want to go. Not troubling anybody. Just savoring, relishing the nectar of the holy name in a spirit of love and compassion for all of us. With her heart fixed on Prabhupada's lotus feet, Radha Ban Bihari took her. We feel very blessed. We all feel very blessed that by Srila Prabhupada's grace, the mother of mothers, this true saint, Yamuna Devi, graced us with her association. And she's with us forever. Because I can't imagine her being anywhere else but in Prabhupada's heart and Prabhupada being in her heart. And the example, the inspiration, the teachings and everything she's given us is an eternal blessing that we should cherish and never forget. Thank you very much. At this time, we will offer Pushpanjali to Yamuna Devi. Flowers are here. What we will do is we will sing the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas, and devotees could come forward and offer flowers to Yamuna Devi as we are singing. Please. For her pleasure, very sincerely, very loudly, let us chant together. Senior devotees could offer garlands, everyone could offer flowers, and Yadubar Prabhu, would you like to offer the aarti, please? Will you kindly